This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Who is the Holy Spirit?
Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see so many of you out this morning, but it's also great to have so many of you listening this morning. We thank the Lord for our ability to be able to reach out beyond the walls of the meeting house and come to where you live, and let you know that God loves you and that he has a message for you this morning from his true and perfect book, the Bible. From 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23, for I was received of the Lord, that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do shew the Lord's death. You proclaim his death until he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body of the blood of the Lord. But let a woman examine themselves. And so let them eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you. Some people who have come to the place where they know in their lives they're not perfect. I said, well, I'm not worthy to take communion. None of us are. But this is a time for you to pause and to examine yourself. If you see any place in you that you know needs to be confessed this morning, if you see any place in your relationships that need to be mended, ask the Lord to forgive you, ask the Lord to help you, ask the Lord to prepare your heart and your mind in preparation to receive the cup and to receive the bread. Let's pray. And so this morning, Father, we pray as individuals for we confess our sin. We know that we have broken relationships this morning. We know that we're not worthy of this bread and this cup. But Lord, you told us that when we confess, when we repent, we are. Just ask you for a moment of silent prayer. Let the Lord speak to your heart and you speak to him. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom. This bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take it. This cup which we drink is the communion of the blood of Christ. Partake. Let's pray. Well, if you were here in February 2020, you would know you heard this sermon before. I'm repeating a sermon for 2 weeks that I gave in February of 2020. How many of you remember? Don't raise your hand. This is not a test. I know one thing. By the time you hit the back door last time, you probably might have remembered 10% of what I said. Now people will say, well, what is the sense of preaching if you really don't remember it a year later? So my question goes to you this way. What did you have for lunch on February 2020 after this service? What did you have for lunch? You say, Pastor, don't be ridiculous. How could I possibly remember what I had for lunch? You can't. But it nourished you, didn't it? That's the same way with preaching. It will encourage you, it will nourish you, it will nurture you, and the Lord will help you to remember some things as the weeks and the months go by. So let me take you back 2,000 years ago, and it's in a room filled with our friends, the disciples. They're in a state of confusion, and they are conflicted. And it must have been a difficult time for them, because as Jesus rose from the dead, and then he took him to a place where he would ascend into heaven, he said something which was very profound and to a certain extent maybe very confusing and contradictory to them. Here's what it is that he said as he left the planet. In Matthew 28:20, lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. Now wait a minute, Jesus. We saw you crucified. We saw you go into the ground. We saw you in that grave for 3 days. Then we saw you rise from the dead. And now we see you leaving, going home to your Father and ascending. How can you say that you're never going to leave us, never forsake us, and you'll always be with us? You're not. There you go. But in an earlier discussion with the disciples, Jesus revealed the mystery of how he could be with them while he will be at home in heaven. It's found in John 14, verses 16 and 17. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, a counselor, an advisor, an advocate, a friend, another comforter, that he might abide with you forever. Verse 17, even as the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. So Jesus told them well in advance of his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, I'm going to send somebody to take my place. Spirit being. 10 days later, after Jesus ascended into heaven, as the disciples and about 120 other believers were gathered in prayer, something extraordinary and supernatural happened that just sent them over the edge. It's a matter of historical record. It's found here in the book of Acts. And I'd like to share it with you this morning. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Let's stand together as I read to you from this account. This is the historical record. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one in one accord in one place. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Thank you. May be seated. So there was this sound from heaven, something that preceded anything they might see. It sounded like a rushing, roaring wind. Think of a tornado. How many of you heard the accounts of somebody or a hurricane? They said it sounded like a locomotive, like a jet engine. It was so powerful, it shook everything. That's what that sounded like at that time. It started above them in the sky, and then it filled the house where they were praying. Then what looked like flames, can you see this? Then what looked like flames of fire surrounded them. They were very aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit 2,000 years ago. That's how he made his entrance into the world. He doesn't do that anymore. But for that first occasion, he wanted it marked. He wanted to put a benchmark. Jesus came born of a virgin. He came the way you and I come into the world. But the Holy Spirit came to the world differently. Because he was not going to be a seen entity. He was going to be a spirit. And so he came in such a dramatic way. What started as a band of 120 followers in that room, following Jesus, grew to thousands within weeks because the Holy Spirit had given them some power. Because of the Holy Spirit, within the previously frightened and cowardly disciples, began to preach with power, bold. By the way, the very fact that the apostles, the disciples, were once locked up in a room, shivering in their sandals, and all of a sudden they became this bold group of men, is proof that the resurrection was true. What changed these men overnight? Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, who affirmed all the truth that he had been preaching. By the third century, within 300 years, from 120 people in that room, touched by the Holy Spirit, the church had grown to over 20 million. And guess what? It continues to grow today. We hear all this bad news. Well, churches are dying and people aren't coming out. All that stuff. And you know we experience that ourselves. But here's the reality, that there is a revival going on in the Pacific Rim. There is a revival going on in the Middle East. It's an underground place, an underground event, like it is in some of the places in the Arab nations. If you say that you're a Christian, you're dead. Going on in China, going on in India. South Korea is now more than 50% Christian. The Holy Spirit is still at work. And here's the reality for you. He's still at work in your life. Amen. He is there. Christian author Josh McDowell writes, "These lives that are transformed lives, answered prayer, miracles performed in Jesus' name are all a result of the working of the Holy Spirit." Now, we're going to go into detail on the working of the Holy Spirit next week. So this morning, we're going to focus on this. Who is the Holy Spirit? And I'm going to focus on two key areas that I want you to remember when you leave here. First, we're going to talk about the personhood, and then we're going to talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. These are the two takeaways for the morning. So you can't remember all the details I'm going to share with you, but you can hold on to these two, because if you hold on to these two, you've got the essence of the message. Number one, that the Holy Spirit is a person. And number two, that the Holy Spirit is God. Can you say those two with me? The Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God. Those are the two points I want to make. So number one, we'll go into the Holy Spirit is a person. He's more than a feeling. So many people say, well, what is the Holy Spirit? That's why we're preaching this morning. Is he just a feeling I have? Does he come and go like a wind? Is all that he is just something in my imagination? Is he an influence? Is he just a power? The Bible uses personal pronouns when it speaks of the Holy Spirit. What do I mean? You know what personal pronouns are. He, me. John 15:26 says, when he comes, Jesus says, when he comes, he shall testify of me. He's a person. John 16:8. He will reprove the world. In other words, he will correct what's wrong in your life and mine. He will convict the believer of sin. When we were talking about communion and asking God to forgive you of your sin, did the Holy Spirit speak to you about your particular sin that he wanted you to pray about this morning? Holy Spirit convicts you. He does not condemn you. He doesn't sit inside here and call you a bad person. Doesn't say you're the worst Christian. He just lets you know those areas that need to be changed. Those things for which you need to confess and repent. That's what he does. John 16:13. He will guide you into the truth. Here's something that separates us from our culture. We believe there is truth. We believe there are absolutes. We believe that there are things that are morally wrong, things that are morally right. We know the difference between these things because we've got God's word here. And the Holy Spirit confirms those truths to us. He brings to light the truths to us. Acts 8, verse 39, he performs miracles. He's the power behind any healing that you're going to experience in your life. He's the power behind anything you call a miracle. He's behind those things. Romans 8:6. He intercedes in people's lives. He's that still small voice that speaks to you when you're going through a very difficult time. He's the one that brings to your memory those scripture verses of encouragement. He'll bring that psalm to you. He'll bring that New Testament promise to you. It's the Holy Spirit that releases those things to your mind. So that's why it's incumbent upon you to read your word. That's why it's incumbent upon you to memorize scripture. That's why it's incumbent on you to meditate on God's word, because you give fuel and you give substance to the Holy Spirit to bring to your memory. If you don't study, like going for a test, if you don't study for the test at school, what do you expect to be the outcome? But if you do study, if you do your part, and then when you come to the test and you're one of those people like me who was always shaky around tests, I didn't like them. I couldn't figure out why they wanted me to take them. But anyway, there they were. And what I would do is I said, after I had studied, Lord, please bring to memory those things that I brought to my mind. And a lot of times he did, and sometimes he didn't. And those are the times I fell flat on my face and got an F. So much for that. The Holy Spirit demonstrates attributes of being a person. What do I mean by that? Well, number one, he has willpower. 1 Corinthians 12:11. He uses his discretion in the distribution of spiritual gifts to the believer. He knows what gift fits you. And so he brings with him when he comes certain gifts that marry up to your natural talents, or certain gifts that you have as latent within you that he could release for you to help others. It may be a gift of wanting to correct what's wrong. It may be a gift of wanting to help people. It may be a gift of being able to help in the administration of the church in leadership. Whatever it is that God brings you as a gift, the Holy Spirit brings to you, and he marries it up, and so he distributes the gifts to believers that they can enhance with his help. Secondly, he has intelligence. You know, you're a person, you have intelligence, regardless of the degree. But here's the degree to which the Holy Spirit's got it. 1 Corinthians 2:10-11, he knows what God knows. Imagine that. He knows what God knows. So that should put an exclamation point at the end of that. He knows everything. Romans 8:27 says he has a mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:13, he's a teacher. Can't have a better teacher. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you as you study God's word. I only stand up before you this morning because as I study, the Holy Spirit revealed things to me. Amen. Not something I concocted. It's something the Holy Spirit revealed. And you have the same. Third, he has feelings. Hard to imagine, but you know what Ephesians 4:30 says? That your sin can grieve the Holy Spirit. When you don't confess your sin, when you don't repent of your sin, when you let it keep going on and on and on, eventually it grieves him. It hurts him. Romans 15:30 says he loves. You're not being loved from the outside in. You're being loved from the inside out. And the love that the Holy Spirit has for you, he wants you to share. So you become a bearer of God's love. Because God loves you. Not just on the surface like most people. He loves you knowing what's on the inside. And I don't think any of us this morning would like to have revealed what's on the inside. Amen? Amen, amen, amen. So, I want you to remember, the Holy Spirit is a person. Can you say that with me? The Holy Spirit is a person. Take away one, okay? That's something you need to remember, and I'm going to share it with you again. Number two, the Holy Spirit is God. He is the third person, as we say, of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the way the Bible lays it out. He's equal to, and in no way inferior to, the other two persons. He is God. God. God the Father. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Here's one way to understand that doctrine called the Trinity. Now again, if you look it up in the Bible and try to find the word Trinity, you won't. But you will find the concept, you'll find the idea, you'll find this truth in the scripture. So here's one way to understand. The Bible says that Father God is the God you can't see. Look at the scripture. 1 John 4:12. No man hath seen God. We got that, right? No one has seen God. I remember a man confronting me right down that aisle, right over there, one of the first years I was ever in this church. He said, I've got a riddle for you. If the Bible says that no man has seen God, then why do we think Jesus is God? Well, I should have been quick on the spot, but I wasn't. And here's the answer. God the Son is the God who has been seen. Colossians 1:15. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God. Jesus is God in the flesh. So no one's seen the Father, but we have seen the Son. Amen? The Son has been seen. God the Father, the God that can't be seen. God the Son, the God who has been seen. And now the Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit who lives inside of the believer. We say he indwells the believer. John 14:17 says, but you know him, for he, the Holy Spirit, dwells with you and shall be in you. Again, God the Father, the God you can't see. God the Son, the one you have seen. God the Holy Spirit, the one who lives in you. The Holy Spirit has qualities that can only belong to God alone. What do I mean? Number one, he is omniscient. That's a big word. You hear it bandied around in church circles, but for some reason people don't bother to explain it. Omniscient means he knows everything. Isaiah 40:13, who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, being his counselor, hath taught him? Who taught the Holy Spirit all it is that he knows? Answer, he's God. He didn't have a counselor. He didn't have a teacher. He is the teacher and a counselor. So what we're dealing with here is the Holy Spirit, who is God, who knows everything. Everything in the universe, all the mysteries and secrets of the universe, all the mysteries and secrets of the world, all the mysteries and secrets of your life. We're not keeping anything from him. He knows everything about you. You can't fool the Holy Spirit. You can fool everybody else, but you can't see him. Why? He's in here. He's reading the back of the book. His wisdom and knowledge is unsearchable, and no being in the universe can teach him what he doesn't already know. Secondly, he is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere. Everywhere in the universe. How do you explain that? He's spirit. How do we explain that God is everywhere? Psalm 139:7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? I can't escape God. Can't escape the Holy Spirit. Can't get away with anything. God is everywhere you go. So if you're in a pit, in a coal mine, and you're trapped down there, and people are trying to get to you, the Holy Spirit's already there. If you're in a pit of despair, or loneliness, or feel like you're all alone, he's there. You've got to claim that promise. You've got to grab hold of that truth. And if you're in that pit, in a coal mine, 300 feet under the earth, or if you're in that moment of despair in your own life and confusion and feel like you're hopeless and helpless and you don't know where to turn, turn to the person living inside of you, the Holy Spirit. Give him a chance to do his work. Third, he's omnipotent. It means he possesses infinite power, like God does. He's all powerful. You can see that if you understood what he did in creation. Well, Job, Genesis 1-2, that the Spirit moved upon the waters. God used his, the Holy Spirit to move upon the waters of earth. It was without form. It was empty. And he began to stir what life would become. Job 26:13. By his Spirit he has garnished the heavens. Garnished. Did you ever put a food platter together and garnish it? You make it look beautiful. Not just, you know, edible, really nice. God created the heavens and the earth. He made them to function. The Bible says that God made this planet to be inhabited. So he made it functional. But guess what? He wasn't satisfied. He called on the Holy Spirit. He said, I made it so they could survive it. I made it so they could inhabit it. I gave them all the necessary things they need to make that way. But I want you to make it beautiful. And so it was the Holy Spirit's responsibility to create a beautiful summer day. To create the beautiful leaves of fall and the promise of spring and the flowers and the blooming and the mountains and the sea and the lakes. The beauty that you see is created beauty. It's not a happenstance of billions of years. Psalm 104 verse 30. Thou sendest forth thy spirit. They are created and thou renewest the face of the earth. The health of the planet is in God's hands. Amen. People today are frightened of global climate change. They absolutely think the world is, that the planet is out of control, the weather is out of control. There's a lot of stuff happening, we understand that. But if you believe the planet is millions or billions of years, things have been happening for an awful long time. Extremes have been happening. They call it weather. You know, who's making it? I know we say, well, we're making the effort and we have control. No. God made this planet to be able to recover for whatever it is we throw at it. Now, we're responsible not to throw anything at it. But God kind of knew when he said, be good stewards of the planet, how we were going to handle it. So he had a backup plan. I'll make the planet be able to be renewed, and he put the Holy Spirit in charge of it. I think he's doing a pretty good job, even though we're not. Fourth, he is eternal. Hebrews 9:14 calls him the eternal spirit. Again, another attribute only God has. God is eternal. Do you understand it? I don't. I mean, people have so many different ways of explaining it, like my wedding ring, no beginning, no end. You can go on and on, but the reality is, how could a finite mind explain the infinite? Kind of hard to get our arms around it. But he is eternal. He had no beginning and no end. Fifth, he is holy. Luke 11:13 calls him the Holy Spirit. That means perfect, that means sinless, and that means unchanging. Now, we live in a world where everything changes. I want to tell you, this book is also called something holy. It's called your Holy Bible, and that means it's perfect and unchanging. People don't have to change the Bible, but they love to do it. It's perfect. The Holy Spirit never sinned. You can count on him to give you good advice. Sixth, he is all truth. 1 John 5:6. The truth is, he speaks about Jesus. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit doesn't bring attention to himself. In fact, you probably will never hear a sermon about the Holy Spirit for 2 weeks on the Holy Spirit in many churches. Again, he's kind of like the orphan. I'm kind of making it such that he's not an orphan in your mind anymore, or ever. He is the life giver. 2 Corinthians 3:6 calls him that. He gives physical life because life, physical life, is a miracle. He gives spiritual life because we are more than material and physical. He is the one who presents to us the truths of what it takes to be saved. And finally, he's the one that lets us know that there is life after death. He's the life giver. 8, he convicts us of sin, John 16:8-11. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't make you feel ugly and guilty and miserable. He just brings it to your attention. And it's up for you to do something about it. Other people love to throw our faults in our face and make us feel guilty. But not the Holy Spirit. He could work with that, but he doesn't major in that. 9, he is the comforter, John 14:26. The comforter. So here's takeaway number 2. I want you to remember, the Holy Spirit is God living in you. Can you say that? The Holy Spirit is God living in me. The Holy Spirit is God living in you. So if you remember, the Holy Spirit is a person, and the Holy Spirit is God living in you, you've got the essence of today's message. And I think that's a little easier to remember than all the stuff I backed it up with. Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for the Holy Spirit living in us. We thank you, Father, how he can affect our lives. And we pray, Lord, that we will be open to his still small voice. When you tell us to call someone, visit someone, encourage someone, pray for someone, do something for someone, we pray, Lord, that we will answer the call. We pray, Lord, that when he convicts us of sin, that we would confess it and repent. We know, Father, that we want to be in right relationship with you. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is our guide to that end. Bless those who have listened this morning. And thank you so much for the truth. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.